And for a second version of a Community Connection this morning, I get to spend a little bit of time with Earl Sears. You already heard him with the Doggone Report. Mr. Chairman, thanks so much for coming in.
Well, Charlie, thank you. And again, when I reached out to you and told you we had a guest in town, this radio station is always so kind to let us bring in our guests to get the message out to the people that live in our area. And keeping the tradition alive in regards to our delegation up in this area, we constantly bring people in to our community to share the knowledge of many industries.
Mm-hmm.
And today, we have a guest today, Mr. Tim Wigley, who is the new director of, has been now for maybe going on 9 months. He come from Denver, Colorado, and I'll let him talk about that. But the point is, he is the executive director of OIPA, which is the Oklahoma Independent Petroleum Association here in Oklahoma. Very large organization. I think it's no secret Oklahoma is an oil state, an energy state, and there are numerous people throughout our great state that has this organization that is out there always talking about oil industry, the good, the bad, the do's, the wants in regards to the oil industry in this great state. And so I wanted to bring this gentleman to Bartlesville to tell what's going on in the oil industry. So not only have we had a breakfast this morning, we have him on radio, and he'll be at the forum at 10 o'clock here in just a little bit. And before I turn it over to him, I do also want to introduce, he has a guest, someone that works with him, is Holly Hunt, which happens to be my daughter, and her mother and I are quite proud of her, and we're delighted to have her back in the community that where she grew up and where she calls home. And so she's going to be with him today at the forum as well and introducing Mr. Wigley at that event. But at this time, again, I want to turn it over to Tim, again, the new director of OIPA, tell a little bit in this radio show what goes on in the oil industry. And I know for a fact he is delighted to be in Bartlesville. So, Tim, again, welcome to our community. And you and Charlie just have a great interview here.
Tim, thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
How often do you get your name confused with the people with the gum company in Chicago?
Well, it's not only that. It's also people say, are you in relation to Piggly Wiggly grocery stores?
Well, there is that one too, yeah.
Because my dad owned grocery stores in Oklahoma City for 45 years, and people always thought that, but no connection.
Well, okay. Well, I just wanted to get that out of the way first of all.
I've been asked that many times.
And probably will not be the last. I can guarantee that to you. What's the health of the industry, first of all?
It's improving. I mean, we still have some price issues. That, I heard one analyst tell me a couple days ago that we're looking at probably $45 to $55 oil for a while longer. It's great for consumers out there. It's very inexpensive to fill up your vehicle and so forth, but it causes all kinds of strains and stresses on the industry. But activity is picking up. A rig count is holding solid and growing. More importantly, the investment, this private equity investment that's coming into Oklahoma, we lead the nation in that private equity. And in Hughes County, we're hearing investment levels of $3 to $4 billion on a new play called the Arkoma Stack. Obviously, the Scoop and Stack in western Oklahoma continues to grow. So we see nothing but good stuff, but a little bit of price bump would be very helpful to the industry.
It's always that two-edged sword. What's good for the consumer may or may not be the best profit margin for
you. Yeah, when you're in Oklahoma City, where I live, all week long, you hear ads on the radio, ads on TV, looking for employees for mm-hmm. service companies. Mm-hmm. That is your number one sign right there, is when they're trying to hire people back, and they can't get enough to hire. So that's a good sign for the future.
Well, let's just mention that, and I don't know what qualifications they're looking for, but if somebody's looking for a good employment situation, what do they look for?
Well, the service companies are the ones that go out and actually service the rigs for frac companies or sand companies. They deliver materials, tools, and so forth. But the main thing is it's usually going to be involved driving a vehicle, so you're going to have to pass a drug test, and people just need to be aware of that. But there's no real education levels. There are plenty of jobs in the oil and gas industry that require college degrees or advanced mm-hmm. degrees, but yeah. The service companies aren't generally looking for that. But if you're willing to work hard, I tell young people all the time as I go out and speak at schools and places, there's no place I know of that you can make as good of money pretty rapidly as in the oil and gas industry. And the fact that they're hiring again now in Oklahoma is a really good sign for our state and for our economy.
And it certainly it makes our part of the country pretty special then.
It is. You know, I was born and raised in Oklahoma City, and I moved away from Oklahoma for 31 years and just recently moved back December 1st. Really glad to be back. It's been probably 35 years since I've been to Bartlesville. I went to college out in Weatherford with some guys from Bartlesville, but I've been telling Holly, what a wonderful place. I forget how wonderful it is, the homes, the downtown area is the best little downtown I've ever seen. It's great. Would love to live here, I'll tell you.
I'm sure that our realtors would be happy to find you a place. to the organization itself, it is then you get input from all the independent operators.
We do. We represent 2,300 oil and gas operators, everything from service companies to exploration production companies to lawyers, attorneys, accountants, and so forth. We've been around since 1955, so been around a long time. We've got a board of about 70 people, and we work on policy. Our job is to advocate on behalf of the industry, both here in the state capitol, in our regulatory agencies, and also in Congress. So we spend a fair amount of time working on federal issues as well.
What's the best message you have when you talk to Congress?
When I talk to Congress?
Mm-hmm.
We are, if you look back at the most recent recessions that we've had in this country, it is oil and natural gas that led the country out of those recessions. We were one of the few industries that was actually hiring people and surging forward. We do things that affect your life every single day in a positive way. Energy is about happiness. It's about health. It's about wellness. It's hard to get a surgery or hard to go to the dentist without having energy. It's pretty impossible to get food or have air conditioning in your house on a hot summer day, or heating in your home on a cold winter night. And I don't think people understand the connection that they have. Your smartphone in your hand that you love operating and surviving and communicating with comes from energy, comes from fossil fuels. So my job is to make sure more people, more Oklahomans, make that connection that we do impact your lives in a positive way.
Well, and certainly when the chairman of Phillips 66 was here a week or so ago talking about their overall line, and, you know, he mentioned that little red plastic container that your Folgers coffee comes in, that, you know, they happen to make the plastic for. It's just all that diversification that I think goes with it too.
Well, there's I contend that as Oklahoma and other states like Oklahoma have, as people have moved to the cities, have moved to Oklahoma City or Tulsa or Dallas or Houston, a lot of my friends in college moved away from ag communities, ag lifestyles, and now their grown kids are not part of ag lifestyles. You end up having a larger segment of your population that doesn't necessarily know where things come from. 2x4s you buy at Home Depot or Lowe's, milk you get from the Homeland store, electricity from the wall, and gas from the Shell station. And so as that continues, we in natural resource industries got to do a better job of making sure people always have that connection as to where their daily lives, what are the things they enjoy that make their lifestyles better and healthier and happier, where they come from. And oil and gas plays a big role in that.
So part of it is getting back into connecting with youngsters at a very early age then, right?
Yes, because many of them, particularly college age, have been told that oil and natural gas is a bad thing, that fracking is a bad thing, and fracking is a new thing, which is not. And so we're focusing a lot of time and effort out there talking to millennial voters out there, millennial citizens who love the luxuries of life that come from oil and gas, just don't understand that it does come from oil and gas.
Well, and I probably a little bit of 401k education too.
Yes, you'd be surprised at how many like universities. There's a big push from some of the major environmental groups to get universities to divest from fossil fuel investments, which make them some of the best money for their 401ks. And so we're having a fair amount of time talking to university endowment directors and so forth, making them understand that you look at how oil and gas has performed over the years in general, it's been a good, solid investment.
So where do you go from here? We've talked about some of the reasons that you do what you do. We've talked a little bit about, do you talk to elected representatives, legislators, and probably also executive branch people. What's the path for your group, let's say, for the next 5 years?
Holly Hunt and we spend a lot of time educating legislators. Representative Sears would probably be the first to say, with 41 new freshmen in this most recent class, many of which have never served in public office, certainly at that level, travel, it's a real challenge just to get around, you know, because of term limits, the constant turnover you have. You have to spend a lot of your time just educating new legislators about what it is we do, how we do it, how we're regulated, how we're compliant. And so it takes a tremendous amount of time, as well as the public at large, that influences those freshman members.
With the, I'll say, congressional talks over the next, hopefully, couple of months on tax changes, tax reform, you probably have some input there too as well.
Yeah, we do care very deeply about it. We have we pretty aggressively lobby them on a host of issues. Obviously, every time you have a change of administration, there are unique opportunities that are created on the tax front. If they get to tax reform, if they can get over themselves and eventually have that discussion, it's going to be very important for us to have a role in that, because of the various, we don't get unlike what some of the environmental community says, that, you know, we get all these subsidies. We don't get checks from the federal government, unlike wind and other renewables. But we do care very deeply about tax policy, because our manufacturing factories are literally holes in the ground. So we care very deeply about how they tax that. And on the regulatory front, having Scott Pruitt, EPA, from Oklahoma is a, we think, a good thing for us, because the last 8 years have been dreadful for this industry on the regulatory front coming out of Washington, D.C.
And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, it's that riding that line between proper regulation and pinching an industry.
This industry is one of the most regulated industries in the world, and regulations are a good thing when they make people safe and sound and secure that we're doing things the right way. But I would say under the last 8 years, it's become oppressive. It literally has become a boot to the throat of this industry, an industry that creates jobs, that makes our lives better. And so we're certainly looking forward to this opportunity to be able to make some changes and modifications and get the government off our back and let us go out there and make stuff and employ people.
Now, get your crystal ball out for me. Let's go, you pick the time frame, 10 years plus down the road. What do you see the industry looking like in, let's say, 2025?
Well, I think back to 10 years ago when people weren't really familiar with, you know, the long lateral concept that you could drill down 5,000 or 6,000 feet and drill out, you know, 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, whatever. That seemed unheard of. So the technologies now, literally, if you talked to engineers 10 years ago, they wouldn't have thought about it. So I have to believe, because this is such a technology-driven industry, that 10 years from now, the ability to be able to do things better, faster, more efficient, deeper, more cost effectively is going to be there. But I, not being an engineer geologist, I have no idea what they're working on now, but I guarantee you they are working on, because this is a innovative industry. Right across the street from where I live in Oklahoma City is the GE Research Facility for Energy, and I know the guy who runs it, and he says the things we're working on that we can't talk to you about, but the things we're working on are going to blow your mind. So I have to think it's all going to be good.
Educationally, for, let's say, someone that's a high school, I don't care, sophomore now, if they want a job in your industry, by the time they graduate from college, what skill set will they have to have?
Well, if they want to work in more of a, when I say senior position, I don't mean like management right away, but obviously good math skills, good science skills, the ability to write and communicate, because this is a technology-driven industry. When you go out to a rig site and you go actually up into the rig, you see a guy that's got coveralls, he's covered with grease and grime and all that, but he's operating a $10 million machine all by fingertip and toggle switch. So if you're a person that is if you're a young person that's 13, 14, and you're crazy about video games and you love the technology, you want to learn more about it, I think you're a prime candidate to do something like that in the oil and gas industry. It seems counterintuitive, but those are really smart people that are operating really expensive equipment, and they're all making really good money.
I can see a lot of good public service announcements coming out of your organization. If somebody would like to find out more, first of all, you're going to be at the RVS Forum here in just a few minutes, but your website?
OIPA.com, and you can write me at T. Wigley, W-I-G-L-E-Y, at OIPA.com.
Okay. Chairman Sears, you get the last word. Thank you so much for coming in and bringing your friends and family.
Charlie and the Potter family that own and operate this facility, this radio station, again, thank you for allowing information like this to on the radio station and these these update moments for our community. It's always a great time. Great seeing you. And Charlie, we'll see you in the near future.
Okay, thank you very much. That's our second Community Connection of the morning for you. A mostly sunny day. I know we got some clouds around the area right now. A high around 85. High school football comes your way tonight. Speaking of which, it's time for our Bruin Buzz, and Evan has that for you coming up right now.
It's time for Bruin Buzz. Hope that your Friday morning is going well. AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1. Big day for Bartlesville High Athletics as Bartlesville High Athletic Director Ryan Huff joins us in studio. Bruin football team getting ready to travel to McAllister tonight. Just about a two-hour and 10-minute drive to our south for Zero Week. It's the first game of the season for the Bruins as they open up at McAllister against the Buffaloes. Bartlesville beat McAllister at home this past season to open up the 26th.